Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal, invites you to rocket into the future with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet.
Stand off, minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
As roaring rockets blast off to distant planets and far-flung stars, we take you to the age of the conquest of space with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Rocketing through the inky blackness of space far out in the asteroid belt, the Polaris suddenly picks up a radio call from Dr. Joan Dale, revealing that she and Cadet Roger Manning are on asteroid 2049. Then, just as suddenly, her voice is drowned out by static. Now on the control deck, Tom Corbett and Captain Strong work frantically to reestablish contact.
Rocket cruiser Polaris to Dr. Joan Dale. This is Tom Corbett on the Polaris. Can you read me, Dr. Dale? Come in. Come in.
Dr. Dale.
We've got her again, Captain Strong.
Good, I'll take over. Hello, Tom. This is Steve. Your rocket scout just exploded out here in space. How in the universe did you and Manning manage to abandon that ship and get to the asteroid?
We didn't abandon the ship, Steve. When Roger and I landed here, Mason and his men took us prisoner.
Joan, I don't understand. Why should Mason take you prisoners?
Well, he's learned that the ore he was sent here to mine is extremely valuable, so he's been strip mining, selling the ore privately to line his own pockets.
I see.
He and his men were loading a privately owned freighter when we arrived. We caught them red-handed.
Where are you transmitting from, Joan? How did you get to a set?
We're locked up in a tool shed where their spare equipment is stored. Roger and I finally succeeded in rigging up this radio. Steve, you're our only hope. You've got to help us.
We're on our way, Joan.
And Steve, another thing.
Yes?
In case anything goes wrong, I'll...
Hello, Joan? Joan, come in! What happened to the receiver, Tom?
Well, nothing, far as I can see, Captain
Strong. Well, check the circuit.
Well, the circuit's all right, sir. She just isn't sending.
Well, try to raise her again.
Aye, aye, sir. Polaris calling Dr. Joan Dale on asteroid 2049. Polaris calling Joan Dale on asteroid 2049. Come in, Dr. Dale. We're immediately.
Hello, Polaris. Can you hear me?
Yes, this is the Polaris. Come in.
Is that you, Captain Strong?
Strong here, yes.
Listen, Strong, this is Greg Mason on asteroid 2049.
Mason, what have you done with Dr. Dale and Lieutenant Manning?
Stop using your tubes, Strong. They're still healthy. I just had to close the lady's mouth. She talks too much.
What do you hope to gain by this, Mason?
A fortune, Captain, and the freedom to enjoy it. Now get this and get it straight. We're going to monitor your space transmitter from now on. Stay away from here, and don't try to send a report to any ship. Is that clear?
And if we do...
Then it will be curtains for these two friends of yours. You'll never see them again, alive.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment. So, stand by.
Say, spaceman, did you ever go to a briefing session? Well, that's what the cadets at Space Academy do before each space flight. All the cadets on that flight meet in the ready room. Then the commander of the flight gives them their instructions about the mission. Well, one day, Captain Strong was telling the cadets about it.
All right, now, settle down, everybody. Now, that's better. Now, you all know your jobs. We'll start blasting off at 0800 hours. Blast off at 3-minute intervals in the order assigned and head for the rendezvous point. And one thing more. Don't stay in the sack and miss breakfast. You'll need your wits about you and you'll need lots of energy. So get down to that mess hall early and put away a good breakfast. I suggest you belt away lots of Kellogg's Pep for one thing. Pep gives you plenty of vitamins, plenty of good food values, plenty of energy food to call on. Vitamins B1 and D help keep you on your toes. So make sure you're getting your share. Some of you ought to have second helpings of Pep on that score alone. Besides, Pep tastes so downright good, you'll ask for a second bowl anyway. Just make sure you leave some for me. That's all. Cadets, dismissed.
Well, I think Captain Strong had better get to that mess hall early himself. You know, Pep really makes a hit at the breakfast table. You spacemen out there, try Kellogg's Pep yourself. See how absolutely swell a cereal can be. You'd be just like cadets here at Space Academy if you sit down to the spaceman cereal, Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P. Pep.
While transmitting a message to the Polaris for help, Dr. Joan Dale and Cadet Roger Manning are surprised by Greg Mason, the mining engineer who was holding them prisoner on asteroid 2049. Mason then warns Captain Strong that if he attempts to land on the asteroid or contact the Solar Guard, Joan and Manning will be killed. Now several hours have passed, and Captain Strong and the space cadets are near asteroid 2049, hoping to find a way to rescue their friends.
We're within radar range of asteroid 2049, Captain Strong. What's our next move?
I don't know, Tom. I half expected Mason to warn us off again.
Well, there hasn't been a word from him since he warned us to keep away. And we'll be in visual contact in another minute or so. Shall we alter course?
No, let's hold her steady. I'd like to bait Mason into establishing radio contact again.
Well, sir, we're coming into visual range of the asteroid now.
Get a fix on it with a forward scanner, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Control deck to power deck. Check in.
Power deck, aye. And Astro here.
Astro, fire braking rockets 1 and 2. I don't know yet. Just stand by.
Aye, sir.
Captain Strong.
Oh, what's the trouble, Tom?
Look here in the forward scanner. There's no sign of the space freighter anywhere. The asteroid is deserted.
I've been through the whole camp, Captain Strong. It's empty. Even the supplies are gone.
How about you, Astro?
Well, I didn't find anybody, if that's what you mean, sir, but I did notice something else.
Well, what's that?
The ore veins in the mine are all played out, sir. There's nothing down there to mine.
No? Well, it's beginning to make sense now.
How do you mean, sir?
Well, Mason and his men must have been just about ready to close up operations here when Joan and Roger arrived and found out what they were up to.
So now they've cleared out and have the whole universe to hide in.
Which means we'll never find them now.
Not unless Joan and Roger left some kind of clue for us.
No, but they didn't, Captain. We've searched every square inch of this asteroid.
Say, wait a minute, Astro. Remember when Dr. Dale first gave us that lab lecture on this ore?
Sure. What about it?
Remember she said it was very scarce, only 2 known sources?
Yeah, that's right. Asteroid 2049 and a twin. I forget which one it was now.
Number 2046.
What are you getting at, Tom?
Well, it's just a wild hunch, sir, but suppose Dr. Dale told Mason about the twin.
Why should she?
To keep Mason from killing her and Roger. He'd have no reason to keep prisoners when this mine played out.
Sure, and if she told him there was another deposit of that ore, Mason wouldn't lose any time blasting off to find it.
And he'd save valuable time by taking Joan along to help him.
And he's still safe with Dr. Dale and Roger as hostages.
Yeah, but all this leaves us just where we were before. If we try to land on the asteroid, he'd just carry out his threat to kill them.
Well, let's jump our hurdles one at a time. The first thing we have to do is to find Mason. Get back aboard the Polaris, boys, and prepare to blast off.
Well, Dr. Dale, you can thank your friends for keeping their word. So far, they haven't reported what's happened to you and Manning.
How long do you think you can get away with this, Mason? You're bound to be caught sooner or later.
That's right, Mason. You haven't a chance. If you were smart, you'd give yourself up to the Solar Guard. Maybe they'd be easy on you.
You're space happy, Manning. I've got everything under control. As soon as my men strip this asteroid of its ore, we're blasting off in this freighter for outer space.
What about us?
You needn't worry, Manning. You and Dr. Dale won't have to make the trip.
You're darn right we won't.
Help! Somebody! Come in here! Quick!
I've just been waiting for a chance like this, Mason.
Roger, look out! Behind you!
Grab him, Tully! Let go of my arms, you slimy space nut! That's it, Tully! Pin him down!
Dirty space crawlers, I'll take on both of you!
Stop now, you won't, Manny.
Let go of me!
And since you won't behave, we'll teach you how. Take them below, Tully. And put them in irons.
There it is, Captain Strong. I've got asteroid 2046 on the radar.
All right, Tom. hold this course, it will keep us outside their radar scanners.
But what are we going to do now, sir? How are we going to help Dr. Dale and Roger if we can't get any closer to the asteroid than this?
We've got to figure out a way to evade Mason's radar first, Astro.
That's going to be tough, sir. Even if we circle the asteroid and come up on the other side of his mining camp, his sonar equipment will pick up our rocket blast.
Hey, wait a minute. I've got an idea. Suppose we let them pick us up on their radar.
Are you crazy, Astro?
Maybe, but the way I figure it, Tom, if we alert them that way, they'll keep the radar on the Polaris to watch every move we make, right?
We can be sure of that, Astro.
Fine. Then the Polaris will act as a decoy. And while you keep the ship on a course just inside Mason's radar screen, sir, Tom and I could take the jet boat, land on the other side of the asteroid, and take them by surprise.
Sounds pretty risky, Astro. Even if you were able to find Joan and Roger, you could never get off the asteroid with them in a jet boat. Mason could shoot you down before you got back to the Polaris.
I think I've got the answer to that, sir. Give Astro and me a certain time limit to find Dr. Dale and Roger and get them away from the freighter. Then you close in and fire a space torpedo at Mason's ship.
Suppose you didn't find Joan and Roger in the allotted time.
We could signal you after we found them.
An infrared signal flare would do it, sir.
When you see the signal, wait exactly 10 minutes and then fire the torpedo.
Hey, wait a minute. There's one thing I forgot.
What's that, Astro?
Even though they've got the radar on the Polaris, their sonar will pick up the sound of the jets in the boat.
There's a way out of that, I think, Astro. Judging by the size of asteroid 2046, the gravitational pull ought to be pretty slight.
And we can find out easily enough. Wait a minute. I'll check the master chart.
Shouldn't be much different from the other one. They're about the same size.
You're right, Astro. It's 0.005. Why, we could land the jet boat without using any braking power at all.
Well, we'd just float down to the surface. Our fall would be as easy as a parachute landing back on Earth.
Well, seems to add up to a workable plan.
It's the only chance we've got, sir.
All right. Jump into your space gear, boys, and grab a couple of paralo rays. You'll shove off in 5 minutes.
Hold on, Astro. We're going to touch down, and we just might hit a little harder than we figured.
We'll know in a second, Tom. Here goes.
Not bad. Hardly jarred us. Okay, put your space helmet on, and let's get moving.
Right.
All set. Open the hatch. Come on. We've got a small-sized hike ahead of us.
That won't take us long. With this gravity, you can jump 10 or 15 feet at a time.
I imagine they'll be using their space freighter for headquarters. I doubt if they take the time to put up a regular camp.
Okay, then, let's head for her. You can see her nose just over the horizon.
So far, so good, Astro. We haven't been spotted yet.
And there's the ship. The crew is unloading something from the aft hatch.
Mining equipment. Our hunch was right. They're going to take as much of this ore with them as they can.
Where do you think we'll find Dr. Dale and Roger?
On the ship somewhere. Doesn't that type of freighter have a hatch on the other side of the hull?
Most of them do. It's an escape hatch in case of a runaway reactor pile. It should lead right to the power deck.
Good. We'll give it a try. Come on.
Careful, Astro. We may run into somebody in this companionway.
I'll be ready for him. Hey, wait. Let's check this compartment.
Okay, open the bulkhead door, but take it easy.
There you are. Kind of dark.
I'll go in first. You cover me from here until I find out what's in there.
Go ahead.
Why are you space crawlers leaving us alone?
Roger!
Huh? Who's that?
What's the matter? Don't you recognize me?
Tom, by all the moons of Jupiter.
No time to explain now, Dr. Dale. We've got to blast out of here.
We can't, Junior. They've got us an iron.
Oh? Well, we can carve you out of those.
Hey, Astro.
Yeah, Tom? Any luck?
Yeah, I found them. Get outside and fire that flare.
Okay. I'll wait for you at the airlock. And tell Manning if he doesn't behave, we'll leave him behind.
Go on, you Venusian ape. I think I'll stay here.
Boy, this is no time for kidding. Corbett, can you get us out of these irons?
There's an electronic switch controlling them, Tom, but I don't know where it is.
We won't bother with the switch. I'll just short-circuit the connection. And listen, as soon as you're free, find a couple of spacesuits. After Astro fires that flare, we only have 10 minutes to get clear of this ship. Here's the airlock. Put your space helmets on.
Let me help you, Dr. Dale.
Thank you, Manning. I can manage.
Ready?
Yes, Corbett.
Lead the way, Junior. Hey, where's Astro? I thought he was going to meet us here.
Probably outside. Equalize pressure, will you, Roger?
Right.
Tom, why did you send Astro outside to fire a flare?
To let Captain Strong know we found you, ma'am.
and have him fire a space torpedo at this ship.
A space torpedo?
Don't use your tubes, Roger. It's a timed operation. 10 minutes after he gets the signal, he'll fire. That'll give us time to clear the freighter.
Well, it's been at least 5 minutes since Astro left. We've got to make tracks.
4 minutes and 30 seconds exactly, Roger. Don't worry. I'm keeping track of the time.
We ought to make it easy.
Okay. Pressure's equalized.
I'll open the outer portal.
Right.
Come on, Dr. Dale.
You see Astro?
Yeah, there he is. Hey, Astro!
Astro, is everything okay?
What's the matter with him? Why doesn't he answer us?
Hey, he looks kind of funny to me. He isn't even moving.
Quick, jumping Jupiter. He's been frozen by a parallel ray.
You're absolutely right, Sonny.
Huh?
Mason, drop that parallel ray, kid, or you'll be frosted.
Why, are you...
No, Tom, don't.
Okay. Here you are, Mason.
Well, you're showing some sense, finally. More than that big hulk over there did.
Okay, so you got us. Now let him go.
All right. There.
Astro, you all right?
Oh, sure. It sure felt awful to just stand here and see you walk into a trap.
How did it happen, Astro?
Mason and his crew just surprised me, that's all. Jumped me right after I fired the flare.
You aren't very smart, boys. You should have figured I'd send out patrols and that I'd find your jet boat.
But, Astro, you did fire the flare.
Yeah, exactly 5 minutes ago.
Well, looks like you've got a tiger by the tail, Mason.
What are you talking about?
In 5 minutes, this ship is going to be blown into space junk. You'd better let us go.
Ha! Still playing games, eh? Get back inside right now. If this ship is blasted, you'll be blasted with it.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment, so stand by. Spacemen, everybody's having fun with a magic eye, the swell prize you get in every package of Kellogg's Pep. Everywhere you go, you see spacemen trading magic eyes, playing games with them, using them for decorations on hats, belts, and jackets. It's really fun. So, if you haven't started your magic eye collection yet, there's not a minute to lose. You know, magic eyes are those swell plastic discs with the moving pictures on them. When you tilt them up and down, the picture actually changes back and forth. Trains go smoking down the track. Planes go streaking through the clouds. And your favorite stars of movies, sports, and radio entertain you. Paramount star Bob Hope swings a baseball bat. Clyde Beatty cracks a whip. Paramount star Bill Holden works the submarine periscope. Every magic eye is packed with action. And you can get as many as 16 different Magic Eye pictures. There's no waiting, no box tops, no mailing. Just get a package of Kellogg's Pep at your grocery store and open it up. You'll find a Magic Eye right inside, free at no extra cost. And remember, at the same time you get a Magic Eye, you'll be getting a swell-tasting cereal, too, which makes it a double bargain. So don't delay. For a Magic Eye and a swell cereal, ask Mom to get Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P. Pep. Their daring attempts to rescue Dr. Joan Dale and Roger Manning a failure, Tom and Astro find themselves in deadly danger as Mason orders them back into the space freighter, refusing to believe that Captain Strong has fired a space torpedo at the ship. Now, as he stands in the open airlock, Tom pleads with Mason.
You've got to believe me, Mason. In less than 3 minutes, this ship will be blasted off the asteroid.
You're wasting your breath, kid. I don't fall for schoolboy tricks. Now, go on. Get into that airlock, all of you.
Only 2.5 minutes now.
Shut up, you.
Do you know what will happen when that space torpedo hits, Mason? It not only will blast the freighter apart, it'll kill everyone in 100 yards radius.
Which means you and your crew will get it too, Mason.
One more word out of you.
Why do you suppose Astro fired that flare? That's when you caught him, Mason.
I didn't see any flare.
It was an infrared flare. You couldn't see it without special goggles.
1 minute and 45 seconds, Mason. Remember, you'll get it too.
Look at your crew. They believe us. Look at them. They're backing off.
Hey, come back here. Come back, you lily-livered space rat.
They're smarter than you are, Mason. They want to live.
1 minute and 30 seconds. It'll take us time to get away from the ship.
Ah, you're not going to trick me.
You've only got one way of finding out if this is a trick. Stay here. You'll either win or be spaced out.
1 minute and 15 seconds.
Shut up.
And that torpedo has your name on it, too, Mason. You'll never get away now. There isn't time.
Hey, you're all alone with us now, pal. Look. Look at the way your crew is running.
Yeah, now they'll make all the money out of this asteroid, not you.
You rotten space crawlers, come back here. Come back.
Roger, Tom, now.
You
Let go.
We're just taking this.
Ah!
Come on,
Al. Get it, Tom.
Yeah,
I have it.
No, don't shoot. Don't leave me here.
We won't. Start running. This is your only chance. Less than 20 seconds before the torpedo hits.
Come on, boys, run. Run.
Eddie Mason, that's where the jet boat is. Who cares? Let's just get where the torpedo is and blast your tubes, all of you. It'll hit any second.
Rocket Cruiser Polaris calling Space Academy Earth. We have found Dr. Dale and Cadet Manning. All hands are safe, and we are returning to base at once. Over and out.
Corbett, that message sounded like sweet music to me.
Joan, why don't you go below and try to get some rest?
Oh, I'm fine here, Steve. Just fine.
But I still don't see how you managed to get back to the jet boat.
It was easy, Skipper. First of all, with the low gravity, we covered 20 feet in one jump. And then when that torpedo hit the freighter, Mason and his men were so busy trying to get away, they didn't pay any attention to us.
What are you going to do about Mason and the crew, sir? They're stranded on the asteroid now.
Well, not for long. As soon as I saw your jet boat blast off, I contacted Solar Guard headquarters on Mars. They're sending a ship out to pick them up.
Yeah, and then Mason can spend plenty of time looking for ore, cracking rocks on the prison asteroid.
Don't miss the next action-packed adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, on Tuesday, when the crew of the Polaris blasts off on a vacation, only to encounter mystery and danger as they battle the Giants of Mercury. Tune in same time, same station on Tuesday for the next thrilling interplanetary adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Brought to you by Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, starring Frankie Thomas, can also be seen on television and appears in the comic sections of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and in weekend editions. Featured in today's cast were Jan Merlin, Al Markham, Edward Bryce, and Margaret Garland. Today's program was written by Gilbert Braun, directed by Drex Hines. Jackson Beck speaking.
Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret. Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret.
And what a secret! In Kellogg's Raisin Bran, the tasty raisins are dipped in honeycomb. That means plumper, more tender raisins, along with delicious golden crisp bran flakes. Both fruit and cereal, all in one box. And no other raisin bran but Kellogg's gives you the tender goodness of raisins dipped in honeycomb. That's Kellogg's secret. So for your breakfast, make sure you get Kellogg's, because
Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret.
This program has come to you from New York. America is sold on ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.